Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the show. This is the Brown Vegan Podcast. I'm Monique, and I enjoy interviewing guests about veganism, overall wellness, and vegan entrepreneurship. This is truly a lifestyle podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please take a moment and leave a review to help others find us. You can leave a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Also, come hang out with me on YouTube. I'm Brown Vegan over there for recipes and vegan tips. And as always, you can get the show notes and everything we mentioned in this episode at brownvegan.com.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
Here.
Yes.
That was a long time coming.
Yes.
So how have you been feeling? How's life?
Life is great. Life is really, really good. I have been living in true abundance and overflow in kind of every aspect of my life. So I'm grateful for that.
Okay, yeah. Tell me more. What do you mean?
I've been traveling. I've been honing my skills. I've been connecting with some dope and amazing people in the industry. And I just became more intentional and purposeful in my life over this last like month or two. I just really decided to really become more intentional. And ever since I've done that, like the things that I desire, the things that are for me, they have been coming. They have just been coming and coming.
Mm. So when you say that it's recent, are you saying that you're just kind of like, sounds like you're just more open to receiving these days?
Yes, I am. I definitely am more open to receiving. And, you know, I just had a talk with myself. Sometimes you don't know in that moment or what that thing might be that triggers you in that moment to just say, I deserve better. But sometimes it happens. And it could be a person. It could be a place. It could be a thing. Or it could be a memory of something. And so, yeah, that's kind of what happened.
That's dope. So what made you decide to become a vegan?
You know what? As a kid, as a child, I've always been very unique within my family. And I have a very, very big family. And I've always just been that child that did her own thing. And as a child, somehow I just had connection to animals, like even at the young age of 5 and 6. And when my mother and my cousin, which was like an older cousin, like you call them auntie because they're that much older, you can't call them by their first name. Mm-hmm. And when my mom and my cousin used to walk at the park, you know, I used to be out there with them. And so the park was like full of squirrels and, you know, and I was so obsessed and infatuated with the squirrels. And so I used to bring potato chips, Lay's potato chips. So I could feed, you know, and it was like, I swear, it was like this one squirrel. I swear every time we came, it was like he was just waiting on me. And I would feed, I would put the chips down and the squirrel would come and eat them every time we would go. And I just had a connection to animals. I just love, like, you know that movie Dr. Dolittle? Like, I yes. swear I could have been in that movie because I just love animals. And somehow that at that age, and my mother used to bake me chicken drumsticks. And if you eat chicken or know about drumsticks, sometimes chicken has a like purplish looking thing against the bone. I don't know what it is, but I used to always just be so disgusted by it.
Even I always thought that was like the that was like the blood.
It had to be burnt blood. Something. Yes, it was something like
too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And so what I would do as a kid, because I'm not thinking, right? So I'm thinking if I pull all the meat off the bone, it would look like I ate it, right? So I get to that part and I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I remember it clearly. We were at my grandmother's because we lived with my grandmother for 1 year when I was around six or so, my parents were getting divorced. And I don't know if you guys had them, but in the Midwest, we had those old school chairs in the kitchen that had cushions. They were colorful. They were like plastic, and they made a splish sound when you sat on them. Mm-hmm. And I cut a little hole in the side, a slit. Yes, you already know where I'm about to go. I cut a slit in the little thing and pulled some of the cushion out, and I was stuffing the chicken in there.
No.
And tell you, if you know about meat and what happens to it after it starts sitting for a while, you can imagine the maggots and all the... And so everybody was like, what is that smell? They couldn't figure it out until one day everything started coming out of the side of the chair.
Wow.
I was in so much trouble. And so, you know, with my mother working a lot and me primarily being with my grandmother for that time frame and then my dad, you know, I was pretty much responsible for a lot of my own food. I had my older brothers, but they weren't really, you know, taking care of me like that. They were into their own thing. And so I was really like making my own food. You see Chef Junior, you see these shows. Like, I was literally doing that in elementary school, in middle school, in high school, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of how it happened. I just knew I didn't want to eat it. And because I was responsible for a lot of my stuff, my mom, you know, cooked and everything, but I was a side item child. I just loved sides, and that was
Oh my goodness, me too. I used to love the sides growing up, and I definitely I relate to the chicken, because I remember the first time I saw that, I was like, I am not eating this ever.
Right?
I never wanted to. My mom was like, yeah, she used to think I was weird because I didn't want scrambled eggs. I didn't want like a lot of the things that is supposed, you know, that a lot of us grew up eating. I didn't want as a kid. So this is so relatable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man. So what were some of what made you actually decide to feed other people, though? Because it's one thing to, you know, have a desire and you're just learning how to do everything. But then it's like, okay, well, maybe I can turn this into something and make a career out of it.
Well, you know, it's so funny because back in the 80s, China sets for little girls was very popular. Tea sets, china sets, those little things like that, and easy bake ovens and things like that. So I knew, I'm telling you, at the age of six, I knew I loved cooking and I knew I was going to be a chef. I said a story. So if people ask me, I said story writer, because I didn't really know author. So I said story writer and a chef. Those were the two things I always said when I was young. And because of things like easy bake oven and the little kitchen play sets, like, I just loved how it made me feel. And in elementary school, should I invite my friends over? Because, you know, back then you played at people's houses and stuff a lot. And when my friends would come over, shoot, I'm making mashed potatoes and green beans and spinach. Like, those were my go-tos. And I would put it on the little china set that I had. And I would have it all fancy looking. I put water or a little milk or whatever kind of little stuff, juice in little teacups. And yeah, and I just loved how my friend, you know, we used to put our little outfits on and stuff, play dress up. And I loved it. I just loved it.
And you sound like you were just creative, just always been creative.
Yeah. Listen, I was an entrepreneur at six. So we lived in a very good neighborhood. And if you know the construction paper, the multicolored construction paper, I used to draw stick figures on the paper and sell them in the neighborhood for a quarter. Like, I just like, seriously, you know, I just knew I was meant to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. So that was always like a desire of yours. That's dope. How did you get into it, though? Because it's one thing, a lot of us have dreams and we, you know, think about the type of life we want, but execution is a whole nother thing. So how did you start into being a chef? Do you mostly do private chef, or is it catering, or a little bit of everything?
I do everything. I do classes. I actually also teach ServSafe, which is food safety management. And I do private and full high-end, full service catering also.
Okay. How did you get into it? Like, what were some of those first, some early days like?
Yeah. So, well, what's funny is I was cooking throughout like elementary and middle. And then when I got to high school, I literally... freshman year, I had a home ec class back when they used to have home ec in high school. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, it was just like everything in alignment. And I was cooking And I was doing little stuff here and there. And one day my best friend back then, her mother was in the military. And so one winter, I was like, wow, there's a lot of sailors here. Like they don't go home. I was asking my godmother, like, they don't go home for the holidays? And she's like, no, there's some people who don't have families. And so, no, they stay here. They don't have families to go back to. And so I started cooking for sailors that couldn't go home for the holidays.
Oh, wow.
Because my godmother was in the military, so she was able to make it happen. And so, yeah. And so I was doing it, and I was doing it at our house, at my house, you know, where I lived. And they were coming, they were taking taxis and everything to the house. And so I was doing it so much, they ended up giving me a room on the Navy base to do it there.
What?
Yep.
Wow. Yep. You were really out here.
I'm telling you, I'm so grateful, like, for this journey, because who knew now it would be where it's at, like, this wow, you know?
That's so dope.
Yeah, but after school, after high school, I did go to culinary school. And so I did get the classical training as well. And that just fueled it even more when I started meeting other people in the field. And then during that time, I found this area, and it was like poetry scene, real big, real Afrocentric, you know, all the people in the movement. And so I started meeting more people who didn't eat meat. And I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, there's other Black people, people from the diaspora, the people that look like me. I got introduced to Ethiopian food. I'm like, what? Vegan friendly? What? Like, you know? So it just motivated me and pushed me and inspired me so much more.
Yeah. So cooking for other people, I know that takes a lot of energy, a lot of love, a lot of time. So what are some of the things that you enjoy to cook for yourself, though?
You know what? I really love fruit bowls and acai berry bowls. I really love the variations that you can put together with those. And funny thing is, like, I love simple stuff also, like Brussels sprouts. Like, I would make 3 big old bags of Brussels sprouts.
And you like, I would roast them?
Huh?
You roast them?
Yes, roast or bake in the oven, a little bit of maple syrup and a little bit of cayenne. And I like, that's our plain snack too. When we travel, yeah. Eat them cold, hot, room temperature, it don't matter. Like, I can eat on those all day.
Mm-hmm. What's your, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just still having that moment thinking about them Brussels sprouts.
Like, what's up now?
I'm trying to tell you.
What's your involvement with the Midwest Vegan Fest? How are you involved in that?
Yeah, so that's my event. I founded
what?
That. That is my festival.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's my fest. Yep. So initially, what's so funny is it started in 2014 on the lakefront of Chicago. That's where I initially started it. But I just felt like it was so much going on in Chicago, and I felt like Milwaukee was such an untapped market. And because the two cities are so close and I do so much business in Wisconsin, I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and move this. So I took a couple years off. And then I launched it in Milwaukee, and it was big. The first event had over 4,000 people at it.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Because when I think of Milwaukee, I think of, like, it's our people. That's our people. So
yeah.
A lot of them vegan curious, it sounds like?
Yeah, there were a lot. Yes. And it's so funny because now, since I started it in 2017-18, now people start doing their own things, and people have become vegan since then. Like, the move, I've helped people who had non-vegan items veganize their stuff. And now they're like, girl, thank you. Cause I, you know, like, yeah, yeah.
In your lives. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So what does it look like as far as, cause I know that you do a lot of, like you said, you have celebrity clients. What do you do for the NBA as far as?
I'm sorry. Yeah, so I do some cooking classes. I also do private catering for some of the staff, and also for some of the top players in the NBA. I do private chef services for them as well.
I just think that's so dope, because a lot of people think, okay, if you're an athlete, you have to have a lot of meat. You can't eat a lot of plant-based meals because you need your energy, which is, like, when you think about it, doesn't even make sense. It's like, mm-mm. It sounds so backwards, but I know a lot of people think like that. So it's real dope that you're able to, you know, serve that community as well.
Yes, thank you. I'm grateful, truly.
So what are they like to eat? Because I'm you know, I'm nosy. Like, what are some of your clients like to eat?
Yes, what are so mushrooms. You do like
menu? Mushrooms?
Oyster mushrooms is top on a lot. Yes, because they have, you could do so many different things with them. Saute, fried, you know, cauliflower as well. Like, they really like those, if you're talking about more whole food, plant-based. Now, when it comes to the you know, substitutes and stuff, a lot of them love the Beyond, mm-hmm. and the Impossible, and a lot of those substitutes, they like to incorporate a lot of that as well, just for that, you know, because a lot of them are transitioning, and you know, they still want that texture, and they want that heartiness of it.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Yeah. I don't know. I need to know your thoughts, though, as far as eating a lot of the Impossible and the Beyond Meats and things like that. Not eating a lot, but just eating it in general. Like, what are your thoughts? Do you feel like there's a place for it? I know your clients enjoy it, which makes sense. And you mentioned transitioning. Mm-hmm. But I know from my own experience, a lot of times people say, because I've been a vegan, I think 12 years at this point. And a lot of people are like, well, you shouldn't eat that stuff anymore because you're no longer transitioning. And it's like, I always feel like there's a place for it. You know, there's always a place for it in my life, at least. So what are your thoughts? Like, how do you feel about that?
I eat it, you know. Do I notice a difference in my body when I'm eating a whole lot of it? Absolutely. I'd be lying if I said I didn't. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
However, am I grateful that if I'm traveling, because I travel a lot. I was just in Orlando last week, you know. If I'm traveling and I can't get to a kitchen, and sometimes I just don't want to cook. I just don't want to cook sometimes. And if that option is available, there are certain ones that I like more than others. But I think the biggest thing is to remember, everybody is not vegan for the same reason. You know, everybody's not vegan for health. Some people just don't want to eat animals. They love animals more than they love humans. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so I think that is the biggest thing, you know, is just giving grace to people. Because people have talked about me before, because I work with a lot of elders, a lot of seniors, right? I do a lot of stuff in senior assisted living, showing them how to make smoothies, how to do stuff in their rooms. And I can't tell Mr. Johnson, that has been eating chicken for 70 years, Mr. Johnson, you can't have chicken no more, you know? And my approach to Mr. Johnson is, hey, Mr. Johnson, okay, how about we don't fry this chicken today? How about we bake it instead? And then, okay, Mr. Johnson, how about let's do Meatless Monday? You want to try Meatless Monday? We don't do no meat today. Mr. Johnson's like, okay, I think I could do that. You got to, I don't like to meet people where they are, but yeah, you do. And so Mr. Johnson came to me a month later like, man, that Meatless Monday kind of cool. I done got real creative with the stuff I've been doing. Or I'm glad you told me to incorporate one salad with every meal now. And so easing them into that, I've had numerous seniors like, I feel different. I'm off my blood pressure medication just from this little stuff, you know, and that's my approach. Some people don't like it, but I have to do what I love seniors. Ever since I was little, I was at the foot of my grandparents while all the other kids was outside playing. I was around them. So I know, especially in our community where it's not uncommon to see your grandma pull out 10 different medications and have to take 10 more later. Like, that's not uncommon in a lot of our homes. And so what I find with people who are constantly criticizing other people, I find that they don't have that same distaste for people in their own families. They'll argue with the stranger about what they eat and more than they would talk to their Aunt Mildred or their Uncle Ernest, you know? And it's not
true,
you know, you know, so yeah, I think people should do what they choose and what's for their journey.
I love that. And it's true. Like approaching people with love and like showing them, okay, this is an option. It just makes a world of difference. So when you say you work with assisted living, is that something that is a part of you? It sounds like you said you grew up with your grandparents. You always loved being around them. So what does that even look like trying to go into assisted living to help people change how they eat? Is it something that, is it like a long process or is it just something that you do when you have time? Is it like, what does that even look like?
Well, I used to do it a whole lot more, especially when my mother was still alive. Cause she had her friends, they was there. So I kind of had to, I had the insides, you know.
Nice.
Yeah. And plus one year I did the census and I had to go in. And so that's kind of how it all, everything aligned. I promise you, like when I tell you everything aligned, and I volunteered a lot to just go sit with the seniors sometimes. So I already kind of had a lot of those relationships there because I love elders. And so, yeah.
That is so cool. I love that. I love it. So what is it like your day-to-day look like these days? I know you're very busy. It's like, how do you manage everything?
Yeah. You know, somehow, some way I've figured it out. So I homeschool my daughter, my youngest, I homeschool her. And typically, you know, she'll do her stuff during the day and I'm working doing administrative stuff during the daytime while she's homeschooling, menus, bookkeeping, quotes for, you know, customer clients, even just some meditation and positive affirmations for myself, just like you said, keep it balanced. And then we may have an event we go to, and it's so funny because, you know, I cook for celebrities, I cook for, you know, high-end clientele, etc., but I'm still so grassroots. I love festivals, community markets, farmers markets. I still love that. And I don't care who I'm cooking for, I still will do those because having a vegan child and vegan children, it really has always been very important for me for them to see other children that are like them. Mm-hmm. And for my youngest, who's 7 right now, it's important for me to see her, for her to see other vegan children, see the work that goes into it, learning about making food. And so, yeah, so we travel. I don't have other than her homeschooling, which sometimes even varies. We don't have a traditional day to day.
It just kind of, it changes every day because your business and everything. So yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. Wait, I think you told me that you have a big age difference with your kids. Is that,
I do. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. How old are they? What's
25 age? Is my oldest. 21.
I'm mad because you said 7 a few minutes ago. So I already realized.
Yeah. 25, 21, and 7. Yeah.
Okay. And how long have you been vegan?
36 years.
Okay, so yes. So how has that changed as far as having a lifestyle with your children? Because having a 25-year-old and then having a 7-year-old, how does that look different as far as bringing veganism into their lives?
Listen, the vegan cheese that we had when my children were younger and in school was horrible. It was oil and water. It was so bad. So my children and I, we laugh now because of all the different cheeses out here now. We like, man, really? Like, all it was Boca Burgers back then, Dr. Prager's.
Ooh, yeah.
And then the one that was in the can, the red can, I forgot what the Wesson or something, but it was like a vegan sausage or some vegan meatloaf.
Not in the can.
Yes, in the can. It was a red package. I can't even remember the package name. But yeah, so, and you know what's so interesting? When my children were in school, I was that parent. I brought their food every day, every single day. I brought their lunch. I've been dedicated. Like, I brought their lunch every single day. And if they had a pizza party, I was making pizza at home, bringing it on a day. If they had candy, what I would do is I'd give them vegan candy, the teacher, at the beginning of the school year for the whole year. If y'all giving the candy, here, give my kids this. I was that parent. I just, I was so vocal. I was so involved. And they didn't have no choice but to. And it was so funny because even the stuff I was bringing, they're like, wow, you know, what's that? I will say this regarding the meat subs. Before all the meat subs came, I will be honest, I was a lot more creative with making my own meat subs, like lentil sausage and, you know, those different things. I definitely will say that I did get a little lazy when the miso's came on the market.
I can see that. Yeah, you didn't have a choice. Yes,
I didn't have no choice.
You're cutting them corners now.
I'm cutting the corners.
I definitely get it. And it is convenient. I do appreciate the convenience. And honestly, for myself, I always say that I would have never been able to start a vegan journey with my family without the substitutes. You know, I would never been able to do that. So I'm thankful for them, even though I try not to eat them as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they do. They'll have your stomach talking languages if you ain't. But I'll say this. I'm so grateful because, you know, since I was young, I have family in New York and I have a lot of, you know, connection and a lot of friends that were Rastafarians from Jamaica. And a lot of the Ital Rastafarians in New York, like they had all those veggies. They was ahead of the game. You hear me when I tell you? Mm-hmm. In New York, like you could go in and get a veggie plate from the Ital spot, from the Trini spot, or for the Jamaica spot. So when you eat a lot of global cuisine, a lot of cultural food, a lot of that stuff is already vegan friendly, where you really don't even have to have any meat substitutes because they're full of beans and grains and legumes.
Yeah. That is so, so true. Like, what is one of your favorites? What are some of your favorite cities? As someone who travels a lot for work, and sometimes it just feels like work and it's not pleasure, but what are some cities that you feel like are vegan friendly and just cities you enjoy to be in?
I definitely love Brooklyn, Harlem. I would say Brooklyn / Harlem, NYC. Mostly Brooklyn. Brooklyn has some really, really good places. I definitely would say, I got to give some credit to Chicago. I got to give some credit to back home. I definitely love Chicago. We have definitely stepped it up. And really, because we have so many different cultures, we definitely hold it down for like just one of my favorites of all times.
I agree.
Those are really the two places that I really would say, like New York and Chicago. I've gone a lot of other places, but I'm real partial to New York, you know, to New York and Chicago. Like Atlanta's okay, but see, when you talk about full experience of food, culture, vibe, energy, yeah, definitely New York and definitely Chicago.
After doing this for so many years, what tips do you have for people who are looking to become a private chef or even catering or events, whatever you want to share when it comes to like growing and starting and growing your business?
Well, I will say this, my first thing, because we do have so many people out here that cook and a lot of times people just jump right in, learn food safety, please. Like it is so important to know food safety when you want to feed the public or feed other people, temperatures, food handling, hygiene, etc. Those are critical to growing in this industry and gaining credibility and the assurance of people knowing that, hey, this food is not going to just taste good, but my family is going to be safe. The people around me are going to be safe. And so that's one thing. Just putting yourself out there. Shoot, DM that NBA team or DM, or you know, DM your favorite artist. Find out who is vegan on that list that you want and email them and DM them. Who knows who might respond? You know what I'm saying? And be consistent. You know, sometimes I'll be honest. Sometimes I have a little bit of problem with consistency because you're just trying to do so many things. But put yourself out there. Come correct. Have variety in your menu. And like I said, just go for it.
Yeah. I'm sure it takes so much time, you know, so much time to get into it, but it's so worth it. I never heard anybody say that about the food safety. That's a really, really good tip.
Mm-hmm. Because I've never seen a lot. And because I teach Serve Safe, I'll be honest, because I teach Serve Safe, a lot, the highest like category people fail in when they fail is hygiene and holding and temperatures. People don't know how to hold with the temperatures, proper food holding. And that's not okay. You know, that's not good. So.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, people can't enjoy it. They like, especially when people first experience being vegan and they get sick from it. That's like, no, we don't want to do that. We don't want people to associate food poison with eating vegan meals. So yeah, I think that's a really good tip. What about some tips on how people should start their vegan journey? As somebody who has been vegan for 25 years, you've seen it all. Like you said, the oil and water. The oil and water. I mean, the oil and water cheese. I used to call it cardboard cheese.
Man, it was the worst.
It didn't even melt. Nothing.
Yeah, it was it was the worst.
Yeah, what tips do you have on like how to start a vegan journey?
So being vegan since I was in elementary school, honestly, it is like I said, get around like-minded people. Luckily, I had the strength for myself because I was just such an individual. But I know a lot of people do. Like having that support of other people is critical to the success of anything that a person can do. And so, yeah, there's right now we have so many vegan groups, vegan pages, podcasts like yours, like Brown Vegan, that can they can expose you to other people who can help assist you. And so, yeah, get in those groups, go to those vegan meetups, go to those vegan fests. There are so many vegan fests out here right now. You have no excuse on why you not there, And so, yeah, just learn. Don't just say, I'm not going to eat meat, but don't learn the nutritional content and the nutritional value of what you're eating and what you need to maintain your optimal health, because a lot of people just turn into starchitarians. They just say, okay, well, I'm not eating meat. I'm just going to eat pasta and rice and bread. And no, you got to still get your vitamins, still get your nutrients, still get everything that you need to grow your body, especially if you're having children that are going to be vegan as well.
Definitely. That's so good. You got to tell me too, like, what are you looking forward to as someone who has been working so hard, being a mom, business owner, and just being just a woman in this world? Like, what are you looking forward to? It doesn't necessarily have to be business, but just in general.
You know what? It's so funny because today, no joke, I was like, I really would love to live off the grid for a little bit.
Really?
I really would. I've camped in the mountains. I've bathed in creeks. I've cooked. Like, I really would. I really would love just like maybe a good month. And I have one of my favorite influencers that I watch that I'm, and I just see him in the mountains. And I'm like, that is the life that I love. I love that my family has camped. We have had annual camping trips for, I'm 42. So for over 42 years, my family, a Black family, has been camping for over 42 years.
And so what would the day-to-day look like? Of course, it sounds like you won't be on social media. You wouldn't probably be working for anybody else. Would you?
I would be journaling. I would be really tapping back into my spirituality, really connecting with source and nature and grounding, barefoot. Yeah, working on recipes, just like it would still. And it's so funny because you say like I wouldn't be working, but it's so funny when you have your own business. How, like, they ask you, what's the one thing you'd do if you didn't get paid? And cooking and creating would definitely be that. And so,
love it.
Yeah.
I love that. That's dope. I can see you doing that though. Like now you got a plan for it.
Yeah.
Because a month, it doesn't really seem in the grand scheme of things, it's not that long.
No.
I feel like that's something that you would be dope doing. So I love it. Thank you. Chef Truth, I'm so glad that we finally had a chance to have this conversation. Thank you so much for being on the show. Let us know how we can follow you and what else you want us to do to support you.
Yeah, so you can tap in with me on Instagram at The Cultured Vegan. You can find me on Facebook at The Cultured Vegan. Those are really my two platforms. If you are looking for services, you can go on my website, which is www.theculturedvegan.com. And I'm ready to talk to you, ready to answer any questions, and we can make it happen.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards. Save big money.